Here at the Clinic for the Rehabilitation of Wildlife, or CRO, on Sanibel Island, some birds that came in a few days ago are getting reacquainted with the outdoors in a wired enclosure. Veterinarian Julia Hill is checking up on them.
We have pelicans and cormorants out here right now. It has an in-ground pool with filtered water that we can give them as they recover, and it lets them start to fly again and eat normally and socialize prior to releasing them.
These are birds that naturally don't often make a lot of noise, but these silent birds act as an alarm, signaling that something isn't right in the environment. Last month, the rehab center got an influx of sick pelicans and cormorants.
These guys couldn't move around very well. They looked almost like they were drunk.
These birds had gastrointestinal problems, trouble breathing, some were coughing up blood. Hill says those are symptoms of exposure to red tide. But when these birds started coming in back in October, there were no indications of red tide from satellites or from instruments used to detect it.
There were all zeros around here. We were looking at our samples for phytoplankton. We weren't seeing any of the red tide cells.
Rick Bartleson is a research scientist with the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation's Marine Lab, and he's here at Gulfside City Park Beach testing the water. Based on the reports from CRO and recent satellite images showing a growing bloom in the Gulf, scientists like Bartleson have been doing more monitoring. He says red tide is often difficult to catch with the naked eye.
The discoloration of the water, the red tide, is hard to see wherever there's already reddish water.
The Caloosahatchee River's water is a reddish brown, and the waterways it bleeds into, like this Sanibel Coast, are often the same color. He says satellites are sometimes slow in detecting it because the red tide can be deeper than spectroradiometers can detect, or the red tide may be living in other organisms. Right now, he's casting a net to catch phytoplankton, the microorganism responsible for algal blooms like red tide.
When there's a high red tide concentration, the red tide also changes the other phytoplankton, and it reduces the numbers of other plankton.
And Bartleson says it's like a negative food chain reaction. Bigger organisms that feed on smaller organisms that rely on phytoplankton lose their energy sources. So it doesn't only affect birds. This affects shrimp, turtles, mollusks. Oyster and mussel harvesters have to shut down if the bloom gets too bad. Fish can get the stuff in their gills where it paralyzes their respiratory system. Manatees can also die from red tide. Birds are the least likely to die. They're usually the first to make it to shore where they can easily be observed. Red tide can also impact human health.
If you wanted to smell it, then you could go to Captiva.
Bartleson says that if the wind is blowing towards the shore, carrying toxins of a red tide bloom, and a human breathes it in, it could cause respiratory problems like sneezing and coughing and cause skin irritation.
Stopping the red tide wouldn't probably be possible, but reducing the intensity of the red tides or reducing the duration of the red tides could be possible.
Bartleson says that since nutrients like nitrogen, phosphorus, and iron fuel red tides, an effort can be made to have more treatment of the wastewater that ends up in the ocean. He says Maryland used to have the same problem.
They reduce their nutrient loadings from huge sewage treatment plants along the Chesapeake Bay and the Susquehanna River from Pennsylvania down to Maryland, and that lowered the nutrient concentrations in the Chesapeake Bay, and that reduced the intensity of their harmful algal blooms.
When asked why Florida hasn't followed that example, Bartleson says,
"It is Florida. We don't have the political will in Florida to do things like that."
Back at the Clinic for the Rehabilitation of Wildlife, veterinarian Julia Hill says it's almost feeding time.
They're just getting fed a lot of fish to make sure that they're in good condition before they're released.
The hope is that when these cormorants and pelicans are released back into the wild, they won't end up getting exposed to red tide again. But weekly updated data shows that the red tide algal bloom is only getting bigger. Quincy Walters, WGCU News, Sanibel Island.